The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Vibrational medicine, along with alternative therapies, can mean total body wellness for you. This is Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health with Lynn Waldrop. Vibrational medicine encompasses many modalities: sound, color, light, magnets, and more. You'll learn how to use these proven concepts to stimulate muscles, organs, and bones to their natural state of resonance. Now, here's your host, Lynn Waldrop.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Lynn Waldrop on Good Vibrations. Today we have a very special guest, Rudrani Devi. She's an author, athlete, medical intuitive, and vibrational therapist. And she was shot during the terrorist attacks in India in 2008. So this show is about her story and about when doctors tell you that you will never walk again. Welcome, Rue.
Hello. Thank you, Lynn.
So glad to have you on.
Very happy to be part of the show today.
So tell the people a little bit about your story, who you were before you went to India, why you went to India. Give them a little bit of your story.
Okay, well, I was in India. It's actually had been a very long dream of mine to go and feel the energy of India and all the meditation and the ashrams and all of this. And that's where I used to be, in that space. And there was a group of meditators that I had been doing retreats with and whatnot for about 23 years at that time, I suppose. And we decided to take this journey together. So we put it all together and followed our meditation teacher to Mumbai, India. And we planned on being there for 3 weeks to take in the culture, to meditate on sacred sites, and just soak up the vibes of that culture. And we just happened to be there at an IMARC event that some of you may have remembered when they showed the burning buildings of the Taj Mahal and whatnot. We were there actually very close to the very end of our trip, and there was a breach in the security. And we were having a late night dinner and we heard gunfire. So my immediate thought when I heard the gunfire was, well, we're in a 5-star hotel. And if we just get out of the way, I bet that these people are coming in just to maybe disgruntled employees, or maybe they're coming after a particular person that would have been maybe an Indian celebrity. There were several that stayed in this hotel that we were at. If we just get out of the way, then they'll do what they have to do, and that'll be the end of it. And it was not. So we heard the gunfire. We got under the table, and several shots rang out. And before all was said and done, the majority of the people that were in the restaurant open to the lobby and those in the lobby were killed. And so I'm one of the 4 survivors that survived that tragic event.
So what was that like being only one of the 4 survivors? I know you have a very interesting out-of-body experience that happened in that moment.
Well, yes, I will say this. Perhaps I had a different perspective than most that would have found themselves in that situation. I had been meditating for years and had been had my own holistic practice, my own clinic here in Nashville, and you know, so my belief system, at least at that time, probably different than most people that would have found themselves in that situation. Now, when I got under the table, I was hit by gunfire and lots of shrapnel and whatnot. And I had, as you said, an out-of-body experience. I didn't see the terrorists come in. I heard them. And it was probably the loudest, most deafening sound there was. And then suddenly, everything quietened. And I found myself rising above my body. I could see myself laying under the table, face down, a lot of people massacred all around, and I could see the terrorists, and I saw that they were very young. In fact, looked like they were students with backpacks, and I later found out that this was these backpacks were filled with arsenal. But as I was floating above my body, I noticed other souls floating up there with me, so to speak, from the other bodies. And there was this overwhelming sense of calm, knowingness perhaps, that we had all somehow formed an agreement that we were going to experience this together. And even the terrorists were part of this, even though they weren't floating up there with us. It was as if we, not that everything is predestined, I don't want to assume that in this dialogue, but what I'm saying is there was a general sense that we were all one, that we were connected. And I didn't feel the fear when I was in this state. And then, although I could still hear things that were going on below, it wasn't that deafening sound. So something changed within me in that moment, and I was content with being in that space. And then, needless to say, I got sucked back into my body and started feeling the pain of what happens when you're hit by an AK-47, an AK-56. And my life changed in that instant, and nothing's been the same since.
And you had a savior that came and pulled you out, correct?
Indeed. I don't know if he was the chef. I don't know if he was a waiter, but suddenly a voice comes from a door that I had never seen before. And I'd eaten in this restaurant many times. We'd become creatures of habit, our group. But a man was standing in the doorway. I heard a voice and I looked up and he said, "If you want to survive, you better come now." And that's when I discovered that I had been hit in my leg. I had thought I might have been hit in my head. My head was very sore, and later there was a grazing discovered on my neck, and I felt the bullet pierce my arm. But I didn't even know I'd been shot in the leg until that moment when I tried to get up and could not. So I tried to pull myself, and this all happened in a matter of seconds. He called out. I discovered this in a few seconds, and then, wired to survive somehow, I threw my arms up and said, "Drag me." And he comes running out of safety. The terrorists now are in the lobby shooting. But he comes to me, grabs me by my wrists, and pulls me over the carnage to safety in the kitchen. And, of course, we drew some attention, so they came running after us. But we managed to get in and bolt the door. Or he did. He just dragged me in. And there were others in the kitchen that bolted the door, dragging furniture in front and whatnot. And they began shooting at the door. So we were all very fortunate to get that far, actually.
So of the people that were in your meditation group, if only four in that restaurant survived, how many in your meditation group survived?
Well, there were six of us at our dining room table. So needless to say, two were executed. The rest had actually already finished their meals and had headed up back to their rooms. So they became prisoners of the hotel for the next 3 days. That's how long this attack continued. And it wasn't just in the Oberoi Hotel where I was staying. It was also the Taj Mahal. There was also the Leopold Cafe. There was a Jewish temple. There was the first place that was hit was actually the train station. Mm-hmm. So this went on for several days, and they basically stayed in the hotel in their rooms for those 3 days. Two of them, of course, were executed, as I mentioned, father and daughter. The daughter had never even traveled before. This was her first time to even be on a plane, and she was 12 years old when she perished.
Goodness.
Yeah.
So then you, I take it, make your way to the hospital when all this is done. Now, were you able to get out of the hotel without having to wait those 3 days? Or were you guys stuck in that kitchen for 3 days?
Well, I wouldn't have survived if we had been in the kitchen much longer. The bullet that pierced my femur actually lodged next to my femoral artery, and I lost 4 units of blood. I don't know if you're aware of this, but your body's only made up of 7 units. So I was fading pretty quickly. Luckily for me, the staff acted very quickly. There were two of them, and the three other survivors from under my table were all, well, actually only two of them made it. One came later. But needless to say, they took us down, picked me up, took us down a spiral staircase to an employee exit, where they had to proceed to break the door down because the manager had been executed, and he was the one with the keys. and they flagged down a taxi. Not an easy task in India, especially with the chaos. And when the door busted open, basically that's when I realized all of India was under attack. It wasn't just our hotel. And it was the taxi driver that got me to the hospital.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what happened when Rue talked to the doctors and what happened when she got back to the U.S. and started her next journey of healing herself. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live talk radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. Are you tired of feeling stressed out, can't sleep, and in pain? Learn how to use vibrational medicine as your new first aid kit. While healthcare costs are climbing and there are more and more pharmaceutical side effects, there is another choice. Contact Lynn Waldrop at www.soundcolorandlightforlife.com and see how 1 hour can change your life. Depression, gout, Parkinson's, sciatica, neuropathy, surgery recovery, tennis elbow, ACL tears. You can have a quicker recovery and live the active life you've always wanted to. Visit soundcolorandlightforlife.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Good Vibrations with Lynn Waldrop. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. If you'd rather send an email, our email address is linsgoodvibes@att.net. Now, back to Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here today with Rudrani Devi. She's an author, athlete, medical intuitive, and vibrational therapist, and she was shot several times during the Mumbai, India attacks in 2008. And so we're talking about her story, which is out in a book. Rue, what's the book called?
Soul Survivor.
And so, where can they find it?
They can find it on my website, www.rudranidevi.com, or you can find it on Amazon.
Can you spell that for them?
RudraniDevi.com.
Great. So we've got a little bit of the background of how the shootings and everything happened. And so the taxi driver gets you to a hospital in India. So are you conscious at this point?
Well, you know, it was a very surreal happening. And I kept feeling myself going in waves. In fact, waves of supreme pain and then waves of supreme bliss. And I know that's an odd way to state it, but I would just feel so, after having the out-of-body experience, I felt so connected on so many levels that I'd never fully experienced like that before. So I knew that even if I perished, if I could go back to that place, I was going to be fine no matter what.
Mm-hmm. So you get to the hospital and doctors, I'm sure, are scurrying around. And tell them a little bit about the story here, because to me it's amazing that nobody ever really told you truly what was wrong with your leg.
Well, it was pretty chaotic. There were bodies everywhere, and they were actually just trying to find a place to put us. In fact, it was 4 hours before they even wheeled me into surgery. They just kept putting the compresses on my leg because it was bleeding so much. And the doctors had thought that I had a head injury. And so I think on one level, they were just waiting for me to perish. When I finally did go into surgery, they removed the bullet and patched me up. And then I was told that the bullet nicked the bone in my leg, and what we were seeing was pieces of bone. We later found out that was shrapnel, and we also later found out my leg was shattered. But while I was in India, they were trying to get me to do physical therapy, and I could wiggle my toes, but I just couldn't feel the top of my leg, and I couldn't move my leg. So at the time, they had thought I might have permanent nerve damage and may never walk again. Unfortunately for me, I wasn't privy to this information. At the time I was married, and my now ex-husband managed to make it to India within 48 hours after the incident had happened. I managed to grab a cell phone from one of the employees, and once the circuits were open, I called him before surgery. So he got there, and the doctors were telling him this, and he elected not to tell me this. So
that was probably one of the biggest blessings when you told me the story, because so many people, once somebody tells you you'll never do X, Y, or Z again, people buy into that belief and they just, you know, don't stay in that survivor mode of I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Definitely a hidden blessing. And in fact, I almost feel as though it was a blessing to not even know my leg was broken until we got back to the States. So.
This is amazing to me. So you fly back to the States and you don't really even go to the hospital. So tell them what happened to
you. Okay. So my leg is wrapped in two ACE bandages. I had to have a doctor come with me because of the fear of deep vein thrombosis. And I was in a lot of pain, naturally. We get there and the plane, we go through Atlanta where I get repatriated, and then from Atlanta to Nashville where I live. And they had an ambulance on the tarmac, which is where I went directly. And I went straight to the hospital, but just for an ultrasound to make sure I didn't have deep vein thrombosis. And I saw my regular general practitioner who said, you know, we saw you all over the news and, you know, we're amazed at your story, blah, blah, blah. We've got you set up with an orthopedic surgeon in 2 days. So they sent me home with a wheelchair and a walker and all of that. And I'm to return in 2 days.
So now
is
this the doctor then that is from the Tennessee Titans?
Yes. Dr. Burton Elrod is the doctor that I requested. We actually share some clients. He was familiar with my work and I was familiar with his. And being an amateur professional athlete myself, very familiar with him and the Titans. But he came to see me and insisted we needed to do x-rays, even though I brought him all the x-rays from India. And that's when he told me the story that my leg was actually broken. I remember when he told me he was touching certain areas and there was some pain. And he said, your leg's broken. I said, well, no, it's not. And I went, oh, my gosh, yes, it is. No wonder this is happening. And then he showed me the picture of the x-rays. And evidently, they just didn't have the equipment in India. The x-ray here, you know, the Titans x-ray machine, the best money can buy, showed fractures all the way from the hip bone down to my right knee, and the kneecap was actually pulled loose. So severe injury to the leg. And if I had barely been bumped, he explained to me, and if you just been barely bumped and you'd fallen over, your leg would have broken in many places and it would have been unrepairable. So
from this point on, then you start a pretty deep regimen. And what I love is that you kind of marry traditional medicine with being the medical intuitive that you are and what you do for your clients. You actually went into action and did for yourself. So give the listeners kind of a typical day.
Okay. Well, you know, you get hit by a car or a bullet. You've got to go see a doctor and have them patch you up and all of that. That makes perfect sense. But there is kind of the fallout also of how a tragic event like that can affect you. And I actually had the tools or a modality that I was doing at my clinic called Life Alignment Technique. And it's a vibrational healing technique. You know, we're all multidimensional beings, Lynn. And, you know, we have this physical body, but as well as that, we have other subtle energy bodies, which are incorporated through several energy systems. So the flow of energy through these systems can become blocked or imbalanced, not only by something physical that happens to you, but also, you know, the body can malfunction and become fatigued, pain, dis-ease and whatnot from your belief systems or what's going on around you on an emotional level, on a physical level is one part of it. But there's also the emotional bodies, the mental bodies, the subtle bodies. So having the tools, let me explain. Life Alignment Technique is a type of modality that accesses the body's biocomputer to identify, kind of locate and correct these energy balances. So the approach is to look at the body as a whole instead of these seemingly disconnected parts so they can function as one unit. So in Life Alignment, or basically the way that it was taught to me is we use our hands as a means of transmitting energy as opposed to using them mechanically like you might do if you were a chiropractor. And that is what creates the adjustment or the manipulation in the body, using energy to move energy. So having those tools with clients and whatnot, this was a modality that I was using on myself, but it did expand tremendously due to my out-of-body experience that I told you about earlier.
Mm-hmm. So you'd get up in the morning, and obviously you really weren't that mobile.
No,
you
had, no. Okay.
had mentioned
yeah,
that you...
a typical day. I apologize.
No, that's fine.
You did ask. Couldn't get out of the bed. I had this prosthesis on and a contraption that I laid in the bed. Part of it was for traction and whatnot. My husband would lift me out of bed, help me to the restroom, where I'd, you know, do what I needed to do, and then he would put me in a special chair that was in the shower and leave me in there. I had a little handheld job that I could wash myself with, and he would make my breakfast. He would help me out of the shower, get dressed. I would eat my breakfast while he was showering, and then he would take me to Dr. Burton Elrod's elite athlete where I'd be doing the physical therapy. And this took generally between the actual physical therapy, which in the beginning was mostly someone lifting my leg and putting it down. But we would start with that. Then we do ultrasound. We do a stimulating TENS unit to wake up the energetics in the leg and whatnot. Then my husband would come back from his lunch. I mean, come back for during his lunch break to pick me up, and we would have lunch. And this is pretty good. Usually we'd go around the corner to an Indian restaurant.
That just cracks me up.
They kind of had the spread laid out. It was quite fantastic, and even they were shocked that I was there. They were so apologetic. But we would have our lunch there, and then he would bring me home, and he would head back to work, and then I wouldn't see him again until dinner time. But while he was gone, I had a portable ultrasound machine that I used 3 times a day, a portable TENS unit machine. I had several vitamins that I would muscle test myself on. My body wanted certain things different days. I had a sauna that I'd had from my clinic. I eventually had to close the clinic, so I had that in the house. And I had a hot tub, which is where I basically learned how to walk again. You know, the coldness from a regular pool can really lock your body up. But the heat, of course, you know, you're in a more expansive state and whatnot, and the buoyancy from the water made it easier for me to be able to learn how to walk again, more or less. So that was a typical day.
But the whole point of this is after lunch, you know, you were left to tend to your own wounds here, and it gave you an entire afternoon to use your, not just Life Alignment, because from our conversations, it became such a different beast for you. You created it into a modality of your own in terms of handling people's medical issues, and really has come to help you in your sessions that you do with other people now.
Right, right. I actually work with 2 medical doctors here, and that's where the term medical intuitive comes in. But through my own experience, I discovered, you know, that I could do this on a quantum level. I mean, here I was, I couldn't move around. I couldn't exactly touch certain parts of my body, per se. So I went into this state that I had gone into and I found that I could do it simply by willing it, where I would, again, have an out-of-body experience. And not only would it manifest, or not only would it look like that, but it would be more of being able to go in the in-between places, between the DNA and the RNA, between the cells. And I don't know if people realize this, you know, you've hear of auric fields, but you're made up of several auric fields and that correlate to the emotions and whatnot in the body. And then there's also all these fields within the body around all the organs. I mean, the heart actually has its own energy field that is rather quantum. It's stronger than the electricity that comes from the brain, as a matter of fact. At least that's been my experience. So what I ended up doing was learning how to go into those channels on a quantum level. And that brought it to a completely different level then.
And we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit more about how she went between the cells and changed things in her body, including how do you deal with the massive amount of pain that comes with that. We'll be back in a minute.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you tired of feeling stressed out, can't sleep, and in pain? Learn how to use vibrational medicine as your new first aid kit. While healthcare costs are climbing and there are more and more pharmaceutical side effects, there is another choice. Contact Lynn Waldrop at www.soundcolorandlightforlife.com and see how 1 hour can change your life. Depression, gout, Parkinson's, sciatica, neuropathy, surgery recovery, tennis elbow, ACL tears. You can have a quicker recovery and live the active life you've always wanted to. Visit soundcolorandlightforlife.com.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoe Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoe Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Good Vibrations with Lynn Waldrop. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. If you'd rather send an email, our email address is linsgoodvibes@att.net. Now, back to Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Lynn Waldrop, and again, we're here with Rudrani Devi. If you'd like to check her website out, it's www.rudranidevi.com. It's RudranidEvi.com. And we're talking about how she was shot in some terrorist attacks in India. And she married a combination of, you know, regular medical science and hospitalization and physical therapy with using vibratory medicine, which she had used and been a medical intuitive even before this happened. So we're kind of to the point now where what exactly can people do? What did you do when you were sitting there for 4 hours waiting for your husband to get home? What type of vibrational type medicine did you use to actually make changes in your body?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, the TENS unit is a vibrational tool, and so is the ultrasound machine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, going to another level of that, I was working more on trying to do what I did in my practice early, where I would access everything with my hands. And yet there were areas of my body that I could not reach. For example, my knee. Excruciating pain a lot of the time in my knee. And the way that I would be set up in the bed, I couldn't exactly reach my knee, but I could certainly sense the pain and knew what areas I would normally touch. And I found that in a state of meditation, which I had a regular sitting practice, that I could bring myself to that same state of awareness that I had when I popped out of my body in India during the attacks, where I could basically float up and assess my entire energy field. And sure enough, I could see the energy blockages around the knee and in my leg, and knew that there were some electrical issues within the body, or pinched off prana, so to speak, through the meridian systems. And you were set up with 14 meridian systems in our body. And I thought, well, if I could get inside of that, since I'm out of my body, maybe I can use this experience on a quantum level to get inside and manipulate these areas. And I found that I could do that. I mean, I had plenty of time to practice, Lynn. I had many hours of contemplation here. When you consider when this first happened and when I was finally released from my doctor, it was 25 months later. So I was able to hone in on this, I don't know, unusual
technique.
Way, right, to and change it. I've basically created something totally different and was able to get in there in between the cells, in between those spaces, between the cells, and in between the DNA and the RNA and the mitochondria. And it was amazing. And I would get so high, so to speak, because being in that state, you know, you're completely open and it feels as though you're free and you don't feel pain when you are out of your body. And so I found that that was one way for me to deal with the pain. And then when the pain did come, it was easier to allow it to flow through me because I had experienced where this pain was coming from. And that's another aspect. I know we had a conversation earlier where it isn't simply the physical aspect that creates the pain. There are different things that are implanted in the cellular memory, so to speak, like from the trauma. Of course, the trauma alone can create data that gets into your cellular memory, but it can also be projected thoughts. People would see me in a wheelchair and all this sorrow was coming at me. And it wasn't my sorrow, it was their sorrow. Fear, you know, suppressed anger. There's all kinds of things that can get trapped in your body. And it looks like foreign energy when I'm looking at it. Anything that that shouldn't be there, that shouldn't belong there. So,
well, you know, that brings up a lot of thoughts when people go to visit people in a hospital. Oh. And slinging out the projections that they have that, oh, poor so-and-so that they're here or whatever,
right.
And how that's affecting the other people's bodies.
Indeed. It's an interesting thing. It's like a mother, you know, naturally will worry about their child, but they don't realize that they're doing the biggest disservice they possibly could by projecting that worry. It makes it sticky and it brings the possibility of whatever they're worrying about to their child. Whereas
and I know I
set them free,
I know I've mentioned this on several shows, but I'm going to bring it up once again, that science has proven that your cells are meant to be spherical, and the thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you have during the day can change that cell shape to elliptical, and that's the beginning of disease.
Yes.
So one of the things that Rue is talking about is just those projections of people having pity for her, or if she even had it for herself, that literally can get stuck into the cellular structure, and how can you change that and flush that out of the system so that the cell can rejuvenate and go back to spherical and everything be better.
Right. You're absolutely right. This is how T cells get mangled. You know, people don't realize that cancer is, that's all thought processes. And it gets to the point where the body cannot, because the body wants to heal. Innately on its own, it wants to heal. But your body loves you so much that it will mirror whatever it is that you believe. So in essence, you're creating the dis-ease. You're creating the malfunction in the body. And I'm not saying that anybody does this on a conscious level, but then when you consider others having these thoughts projected at you as well, oh, they're sad, this person has cancer, you know, instead of surrounding them with healing light or what it might be, however that shows up, prayer, meditation, that can actually make it more quantum and expand them as opposed to sending these little darts which contract them.
So you used this on yourself and kind of perfected the tool, and now you have clients that you use it on all the time.
Yes, and I do this particular modality now by remote only, and that's simply because I go into this trance-like state, and I, number one, I wouldn't be able to articulate to them anything, and originally we were using kinesiology so I could show them that these areas were weak or strong. But I'm unable to stand around a table and actually doing the work by remote. I'm doing it quantumly now, so they're getting it multidimensionally, much deeper balance than they would have ever gotten with me standing around a table. So usually the client is sleeping. That's my favorite. So my first appointment is usually 5 or 5:30 in the morning. And then there are a lot of musicians in Nashville, so there are a lot of appointments that don't start until 9 or 10 o'clock. And then the people that I would see in person for other work that I do or modalities that I offer would be after lunchtime. And those are the people who would actually physically come here, or if I do an intuitive consultation over the phone, of course. So they're in a sleeping state. I'm able to have the out-of-body experience like I suggested before, and then I can see their energetic field, see where the blockages are, and then I get to dance inside their energy field. When I'm complete with that, I take notes, and then I make them an MP3 recording, and I email the notes and the recording to them via email. And, of course, if there's any questions, they can certainly ask. And if there's anything that their body requires or desires, I can muscle test them on different supplements or modalities, other modalities that could help, or even positive statements that they could be making. There's just, you know, it's limitless.
So one of the things you and I had talked about was how, you know, even though it was your leg that was shattered, there were other parts, your body was calling for you to work on a lot of other parts of your body. And I find that in my practice as well, where people will say, okay, my foot hurts. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, their body is telling me that, you know, before I can even address what's going on with the foot, you have to work on the immune system, or you have to work on the brain, or you right. have to work in a different place. Or sometimes it's not even just that those have to be done first. It's just that the foot is just a symptom of what's going on in these other areas.
Indeed. And in fact, you know, my experience was I had different aspects in the nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system had to be addressed. My immune system had to be addressed. My cells, I have something called thalassemia, which is a Mediterranean form of anemia, and that was really low, and the doctors were very concerned, and so I had to work on that aspect in the immune system. My heart had issues that were going on that had absolutely nothing to do with my injuries, but they were compounding the effects of my healing and slowing the healing down, so I had to address those emotional issues that were coming up for me. So it is, you know, you are dealing with the body as a whole. And once I was able to do these things, that the healing process actually sped up tremendously.
Were there some surprising emotions that came up for you? You know, I mean, the normal, I'm sure, would be that, you know, you're shocked. I know after 9/11, a lot of people went to the wrongness of certain cultures.
Right.
But was there anything in particular that just was like, wow, I didn't really know that I felt that way, an emotion that was just kind of out of ordinary, it brought up some, you know, childhood thing or something else?
Absolutely. It's interesting that you say that, because of my out-of-body experience, I really didn't have any negativity towards the Pakistani or the Indian people. If anything, I had more compassion for them. This is a fight that they were dealing with, and, you know, I happened to be caught up in the middle of it. So even when talking to the FBI and counselors afterwards, we were all quite surprised that I never went through post-traumatic stress disorder, anything that we could measure. But what did come up, what did get jarred, were a lot of childhood memories, things that I had chosen to suppress. And a lot of times when you're growing up, you really don't know what to do with those feelings. So you do store them away. And now my body wasn't allowing it anymore. To be able to do the healing process, I was going to have to address some very hurtful issues growing up.
Wow, that's interesting. And I want everybody to know, too, I want you to tell them about how when you had been shot, you did not, since you were face down, did not see any of the attackers, any of the terrorists.
Right.
And it wasn't until you had your out-of-body experience that you saw their faces and you actually identified them with the FBI or whoever based off that. Tell them a little bit about that.
Well, it's interesting. I was repatriated by the United States because there were Americans killed and injured. They sent the FBI in, and I believe it was like one of the last couple of days that I was in the hospital. And they were asking me if I could ID the killers. And I'd been telling my, at the time, husband, you know, that they looked like children and whatnot. And so here I am IDing them to great detail. It was only two that were in that did all this damage in our hotel, but was able to ID them, that what they looked like age-wise and all of that. And then it wasn't until later that I realized, well, gosh, you know what? I never got up until I was dragged. I got up under the table and was dragged, and I realized I ID'd them from that state. And I didn't tell the FBI at the time. They just asked me to ID them, and I remembered what they looked like, and I told them what they looked like. So,
how do you think the FBI would handle that right now?
You know, I don't remember exactly. I think they asked what I did, and at the time my husband didn't want to say she's a medical intuitive, so he just said, well, she has a clinic in Nashville. He didn't even mention what kind. But you know what? That's something they could receive and understand. I think if I'd gone into this, oh, I floated above my body, and that's when I saw them, they might have had, well, who knows? They might have been kind of an interesting conversation, to say the least.
Surely they looked up your website just to check out who you were.
Yeah, who are we talking about here? It's the FBI. I'm sure.
I would hope that somebody went that route. We're going to take our last break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about a documentary that's going to be shot about Rue and her experiences and her sessions and what that looks like, if anybody's interested. We'll be back in a minute.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you tired of feeling stressed out, can't sleep, and in pain? Learn how to use vibrational medicine as your new first aid kit. While healthcare costs are climbing and there are more and more pharmaceutical side effects, there is another choice. Contact Lynn Waldrop at www.soundcolorandlightforlife.com and see how 1 hour can change your life. Depression, gout, Parkinson's, sciatica, neuropathy, surgery recovery, tennis elbow, ACL tears. You can have a quicker recovery and live the active life you've always wanted to. Visit soundcolorandlightforlife.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Good Vibrations with Lynn Waldrop. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. If you'd rather send an email, our email address is lynsgoodvibes@att.net. Now, back to Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health.
Welcome back again. This is Lynn Waldrop, and today we have Rudrani Devi on. And again, we've been talking about the terrorist attacks in India and how she was shot and her femur was shattered. And we never really got back to the point now where you actually were a marathon runner before that, and you were training for the Boston Marathon when all of this went down. And since you've been running marathons and half marathons, and so the doctor said you'd never walk again potentially, and here you are running marathons. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Well, fortunately for me, I did have the Titans doctor, so he totally got where I was coming from. And he's done several interviews and said, well, there was no talking any sense in her. Because I never asked him, what am I? That's what he would say. I would look at these interviews later and go, thanks a lot, dude. But the bottom line was, is I never asked him, when am I going to walk again? I asked him, when am I going to run again? And when he finally released me, December 21st of 2010, my intention was to run the April 2011 Boston Marathon. April. So we're talking about the end of December. This is not even enough time to normally train for a marathon, and forget that I hadn't run in, you know, a couple of years now. So, you know, he reluctantly gave me a release, and I went on YouTube and made a bib plea, because by this time all the bibs for Boston were gone, and Adidas, somebody with Adidas was, he saw it and was kind enough to actually give me the bib. So then I had to run this thing, and I don't even know how I managed to do it, Lynn. I mean, when you want something bad enough, I suppose. And nobody, I mean, people were actually telling me, you can't do it, including my doctor. But can't is something that kind of motivates me even more.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the person that comes to me and I'm the last ditch effort, and every doctor has told them, you know, we can't do anything about this. We've tried every aspect we can. And yet, they're just treating the symptoms. They're not actually treating, you know, what the root cause is, which, as we discussed, could be something emotional or something of that nature. So.
And I think that's big in vibrational medicine as a whole. I mean, I find that in my practice and a lot of the other sound practitioners and vibration practitioners I know, we're kind of the last ditch effort.
Yeah.
And so it's just absolutely amazing. We get to see all the miracles. We get
sure,
to observe
yeah.
that and be a part of them.
It affords us a front row seat. And, you know, I'm not offended at all that I'm the last ditch effort. In a lot of ways, that actually validates what we do even more.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying we're miracle workers here. I think everyone is psychic and able to heal themselves. It is a, you know, it's a co-creation on a lot of levels. So,
and that's what this show is about. I mean, Rue did this, and so can any of you that are out there. And yes, she has some techniques, and she has some tools that maybe you haven't actualized in your world yet. And you can certainly get a hold of her at www.rudranidevi.com. That's RudranidEvi.com, and hook up with her in terms of either getting a session or learning more about what she does. But that's the fantastic thing. Everybody, everything is energy. Everything has a vibration, and you can change anything in your world. And we'd love to teach you how.
Absolutely.
So tell them a little bit about the documentary that you're getting ready to do.
Ah, okay. So to speak of the documentary, getting back to the April, the Boston April 2011 marathon, which was my 10th marathon, I wrote a book about running that when I was told that that was an impossibility, and had been doing kind of a video diary. I have a little Sony Handycam, and had been, you know, talking into the camera and whatnot, and set up on tripod where you could see me trying to run my first mile on my treadmill. And over, you know, the course of time, I had this kind of video diary. And so I ended up connecting with some folks. I used to be in film production myself, produced a couple of hundred music videos and long form concerts and whatnot. So I know some people in the industry, and we started talking about possibly doing a documentary based on the second book, which is called For the Love of Running. It's a marathoner's journey from victim to victory. And it kind of picks up where the other book leaves off, a testimonial or a companion memoir, so to speak. So the documentary is basically picking up from the point of me training for Boston, explaining the backstory. And then the twist is this. I'd like to run the Bombay Marathon, where I was shot, January of 2013. So we're going to head out there, and my wish is to meet the gentleman that dragged me to safety. Without his courage, I wouldn't be talking to you now.
Wow. Talk about things coming full circle.
Indeed. 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 I don't know his name. I don't know where he is. We haven't gotten that far, but my intention is to find him.
You know. I'll bet you if you did a plea to a news outlet over there.
Oh, yes.
Even, you know, that, look, I'd like to find this person that saved my life.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to request from the hotel and whatnot. I'm sure they've got a record of him somewhere, and with all the media there. And, you know, this was a huge deal for them. It was like our 9/11. So
yeah.
I'm feel pretty certain we're going to find this guy.
That would be so awesome. Mm-hmm. So if somebody came to you for a session, what would that look like? What do you do?
Well, I asked their body. Well, I asked them and their body what it is that they require from me, what it is they're looking for. For some, it might be a vibrational healing session while they're sleeping. For some, it could be in person where we do clearing statements and release issues that are stuck in their cellular memory or issues in the tissues of the body. And once that's released, the stress may be gone. It could be an intuitive consultation. It could be in a body assessment, what they need to have done. A lot of these can be done over the phone or in person. A lot of times I'm even asked, they just call and they have questions, and I end up doing speaking engagements due to that. So basically, that's it. We find out what's best for them, and we go from there.
And you said you work with several doctors. So I find it interesting that a psychic or even medical intuitive, however you want to put that, someone who does energy work actually works with doctors. So tell us a little about what that looks like.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it started out, I was working with chiropractors and just different alternative therapists, more or less. And then the word kind of spread. And now I work with what I would consider to be two very open-minded official doctors, you know, with all the little letters and whatnot after their names. And they make no bones about utilizing me. They make jokes that they don't exactly know how to explain what I do, but that I come highly recommended, and, you know, and so we incorporate what I do with their clients. And a lot of times it shows up like a Carolyn Miss story where they give me the name of the patient and say, we've been trying these different things. These traditional medicines aren't working. Can you tell us what it is? And they won't even tell me what the issue is, what they've come to them for. And I'll scan the body. And a lot of times it's not exactly the same organ, but in a lot of ways you can see why it's related. So I hope this is a wave of the future, Lynn. I believe that more is more, and we should utilize everything that's out there.
I agree, and you've definitely proven that. Mm. Most people, a lot of people will pick just one modality and say, you know, this is what it's going to be.
Right.
And you use the best of all worlds.
Well, indeed, it's all God to me. You know? So, it's an infinite universe. Why limit yourself to one or two possibilities, you know, is the way I see it. And even in the modalities that I offer, I mix in a lot of other little things, kind of ninja style, you know, other things that I know work, but I'm only using pieces and bits. And it really just depends on what resonates with the client. Every client is individual, and so they get individual care.
So what is your schedule going to be like between now and January then with trying to get up to speed for doing that marathon in Bombay?
Well, that'll be very interesting. As you know, I actually broke my ankle recently running, dodging a car that didn't see me. So I'm in the process of healing that at the moment. But the thought is I'll be able to start running again in August. And the schedule will be the same. Now, I'm a little bit different than most. They say that most runners need to run 5 days a week at a minimum, sometimes six. And I run 3 days a week. I make it count. And I, again, just like with, and it's what works for me, just like with my work, I incorporate also yoga and weight training and different aspects of my diet that my body wants at that time. I'm the kind of person that oatmeal isn't the best meal the morning of or pasta the night before. My body actually wants a rare filet. I know that sounds odd, but that's what it asks for, and that's what works for it. So we're all different, you know, kind of shatter the ideologies of what's supposed to work for everybody.
Well, and you give the body what it truly desires, and it will give you way more than you thought that it could.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So a lot of people have a lot of preconceived notions about what you should do or what you can't do or what you could do.
And it limits them in so many ways that they don't get to accomplish what they're trying to. Well, I'm doing everything right. And it's exactly that rightness that creates the problem. So
I did I told you the story when we had a class together that I did a half Ironman, and I didn't eat anything the night before. I didn't eat anything the morning of. I was starving during the race. I wanted just to get off my bike and get a cheeseburger. And because not only did I have no preconceived notions of what I was supposed to do, I had no idea what I was supposed to do.
Well, so there's that, you know. It's too bad you didn't have that cheeseburger in your little running pack, because that's probably exactly what your body was, you know, desiring and requiring at the moment. So
guess what I had after the race?
Yeah, I always have a cheeseburger, swear.
Really?
What that's my app, that and a, well, pardon me, I'm a bit of a sailor, that and a gin and tonic usually.
So. Well, hey, Rue, it has been fabulous having you on. I appreciate it so much. I can't wait to see the documentary when it comes out. And please go to see her at her website, www.rudranidevi.com. And next week we have on Sylvia Puentes, and she's going to be talking about how to create your relationship every day. So if anybody has any relationship problems or issues or just would like to make it better than you could never even imagine, please join our show next week, and I hope you all have a very healthy week.
Thank you again for joining us for Good Vibrations, Catch the Wave to Better Health. We hope you'll tune in again next week, Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition with your host, Lynn Waldrop, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a good and healthy week.